Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. Today's message is brought by Faye Clark.
Wow, it's good to be in his house again this evening, meeting with the living God. So the title for this evening is, God, what am I here for? And you'll be glad to know there's nothing about any referendum. There's nothing about staying or leaving. It's all about Jesus, because he's still on the throne. Okay. And when I was praying about today, I really felt that God wanted to encourage us to remember our salvation, to remind us that he is the one that saves us, that sets us free, that sets us apart. And so that was the title that he gave me. What am I here for? What are you here for? And I don't know about you, but I have asked that question a lot over my many years. I'm not that old, only joking. Not that many years. But in lots of different seasons in my life, before I was saved and during my relationship with God, I've asked that question a lot. God, what am I here for? What am I here for right now? What am I here for in this season? What am I here for? I'm feeling useless. What am I here for? And I'm sure that I'm not the only person that has asked that question. So I've got some great things to encourage you today about what you are here for and what God created you to be here for. And I've been reading over the last couple of weeks Rick Warren's Purpose Driven Life, which is really good. And if you've read it, you'll probably pick some keys up in today's message from what he writes about in that book. And it's really helped me the last couple of weeks in what am I here for. And I really felt that God wanted to just take us back to basics. And I'd got a video clip to show you, which we can't use, but it's the story of salvation by an artist. And he basically tells the story and draws. It's really good. We'll put a link to it on the podcast. You can watch it at home. Ty and I were watching it, and it was amazing. And this guy, using spray paints, tells the story of the Creator God who created us to be in relationship with him until sin got in the way. And then it tells the story about how on one particular day he sends his son, Jesus, born of Mary, into the world so that he can eventually go to the cross to die to save us. And in this picture, he uses the cross, very much like the cross on the wall there, and he lays it flat between the world and the heavenlies and just shows how the cross that Jesus died for acts as the bridge to bridge God's creation back to himself. Because when Jesus was crucified on the cross, it ripped the veil of heaven from top to bottom, enabling us to have full access into the throne room, into the holiness of God, into full relationship with him. So his plan for us from the beginning was for us and him to be one. First and foremost, we are created to be in relationship with God. He pursued you. His love for you was so fierce, so strong, so determined for you. And we sing a worship song here called Fierce. And there's part of that that says this: like a tidal wave crashing over me, rushing in to meet me here, your love is fierce. Like a hurricane that I can't escape, tearing through the atmosphere, your love is fierce. And we're going to start in John 3, verse 16 to 20, which I'm sure that if you have a relationship with Jesus, and if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I'm sure that you will have heard this scripture. And it says, for God loved the world so much that he gave his only one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who decides not to believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light. For their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sin will be exposed. So he sent his son to die for you, and then he pursued you further. By ensuring that he sent somebody into your pathway of life so that you could hear the word, so that you could hear the story of Jesus dying on the cross. And the Bible says that faith comes by hearing. That means somebody has got to talk to you about it. And I know for me that was true. Somebody spoke to me about Jesus. I was brought up in a Christian family, but at some point I made a decision to go my own way. And somebody spoke to me about Jesus. And all of a sudden Jesus became very real to me, rather than just something that was in my home. It was personal. And love like a tidal wave. Can you even begin to imagine what it looks like? How much love that is. How fierce and strong and life-changing a love like that is. And when I was preparing, I was thinking about that worship song. And when we were singing it a couple of weeks ago, I was like, wow, that's pretty fierce. You know, I think if I saw a tidal wave coming towards me, I'd be running the other way. You know, if there was a hurricane that I couldn't escape, I'd be pretty scared, because they are seen as very destructive things. When you're hit with a hurricane, when a tidal wave hits, the landscape is never the same again. And God was talking to me about that tidal wave of love. When it crashes over you, the landscape of our lives can never be the same again when we've touched the love of a father. When we've touched the love of the Father, the King of Kings, the one who sent his son to die for us, the landscape of our life can never, ever look the same again. It can be instantaneous. It can be a journey. And I like to think that that tidal wave of love is crashing every day, changing the landscape of my life on a daily basis, making me more like Jesus. A tidal wave of love. It's powerful, isn't it? We Googled a tidal wave, and I had got a picture, but I omitted to send it to the technical team, which is a bit of a waste of one's time. But there was a picture of a person with this tidal wave coming towards them, and I was like, wow, God, your love is like that tidal wave coming towards us, embracing us, crashing over us, completely changing where we're at every day. It's every day. It's not just when you meet with Jesus for the first time. Every day, that love, that fresh wave of his love. The word says, the Bible says, his love and mercy and grace is new every morning. That tidal wave of love is new every morning. Because of his love for us and all of creation, God made you for a purpose. And without purpose, life is motion without meaning, activity without direction, and events without reason. It's never too late to find your God-ordained purpose. Every plant, every animal, everything that is alive and breathing, that means you, because you're alive and breathing. Okay, you're made for a purpose. So what is it? What is that purpose? So purpose number one. Hi, Steve. Purpose number one, you were created for relationship with God. Okay. First and foremost, your life is this. You were created for God's pleasure. Every single person in this nation and the nations, he created them for his pleasure. And I like to think that two words that best describe our Christian walk is a love affair. Now, not a seedy love affair. Get that whole, like, love affair. It's not seedy, okay? And I was thinking about how amazing it is when you see two people in love and it's real. It's tangible. You know, when they walk in, their relationship is tangible. And I look even at my parents, who have been married for much longer than I have been married. And I look at their relationship as such an example, because they still hold hands walking down the road. And, you know, they hug in the kitchen. I'm like, oh, really? children a present. Do you have to? You're too old for that. You're never too old for holding hands, and you're never too old to have a hug in the kitchen. That's what I say anyway. But you know, that sort of amazing love affair, that amazing love relationship, it's tangible, it is infectious, it makes you want to have that for yourself. And you know the good news? Today, you can have that love affair with Jesus for yourself, because that's what he created you for. Ha! It's amazing, isn't it? He wants you to know him, and he wants you to love him. And Luke 10:27 says this. The man answered, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself." Everything else is secondary to this. He wants you to know him. He wants you to love him. He wants you to dwell with him. He wants you to spend time with him. This is worship, guys. Worship's not singing these songs. This is worship. Loving him, dwelling with him, spending time with him. First and foremost, this is what you were created for. Number two on the list. We are formed for God's family. So, just as worship, what we've just been talking about, brings pleasure to God, fellowship with one another and other believers also brings pleasure to God, because he formed you to be part of his family. And Hebrews 10:23-25 says this: "Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." And I can't think of a time in my life where the return of Jesus is as near as it is right now. Amazing. One of the most misunderstood ideas of the Christian life is that it's okay, I just believe in God. I believe in God, so I'm going to be all right. No. The word says, do not neglect meeting together. Because God has placed you in his family. And when we're in family, we encourage one another. We love one another. We help one another. We encourage one another. Well, we do in our family. And I know that you guys do in your family. But equally, this is a family. It's the same rules apply. And I don't know whether you know this, but one another are used 58 times in the New Testament. Love one another, care for one another, pray for one another, exhort one another, encourage one another, greet one another, and on and on and on we could go. God wants you to care for other people. This is called fellowship. That's what we do in family. And guys, the great news is this is the second purpose for your life. When I bought my home, I was shocked because I never thought that I would be in the position to, one, be able to do that. But God's so faithful to his promises that he made a way, he made a provision. And when I completed on my house, I said to God, "This house is your house. Do with it what you want, because you are the one that has given it to me." And so when Steve and I met, I was like, this is the rules of the house. Okay? God gave us this house. It's his. And as our journey developed, and we had a great, great time of marriage preparation with a wonderful couple. It was truly amazing. I would say best thing ever. If you're getting married, you've got to do marriage prep. It's amazing. But that's a sideline. But we found out that our gift together was hospitality. Steve and I, we love having people over. Our home is very open. I'm not saying Everyone here's got to open their house. Hear what I'm saying. I'm saying that God calls us to encourage and love and embrace one another. But how can we do that better? Now, if you want to invite me for dinner, I'm more than happy to come. But remember, there's three of us now. There's not two. We come as a package. But no, joking aside, you know, how can we do it better? How can we love one another better? How can we care for one another better? How can we help one another better? How can we greet one another better? What can we do better as a family? Because that's what we were created to be. It's not putting out a great spread. It's about being inclusive and not exclusive. It's about embracing others and preferring others above ourselves. It's about loving and encouraging one another. And we can all do that. Doesn't matter what our budget is. It doesn't matter what our circumstances are. It doesn't matter if we're the only person saved in a household. We can all do one of those things because you're created to be family. And this here is family. Sometimes our natural family let us down. But when God places us in this family here, in his family, it's amazing. It's full of love. It's full of encouragement. It's full of embracing. And that's what family is. Number three, you're created to be like Christ. So we've got three scriptures. We're going to go straight through all three of them. The first one is Ephesians 4, verse 21 to 24. And it says this: since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. And the second scripture is Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. And that says this: imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, as a pleasing aroma to God. And the third one is this, Galatians 3, 26 to 28. For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus, and all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on the character of Christ, like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And I use those three scriptures because I didn't want you just to think there was one in the Bible that said we needed to be like Christ. In actual fact, there's a lot more, but that's just three really good ones. So far, we know that we are planned for God's pleasure. We're formed for a family, that's called fellowship, and God made you to be like Christ, that's called discipleship. God made you to transform you into a likeness of his son, Jesus Christ. God is far more interested in what you are than in what you do. He's far more interested in your being than your doing. God is more interested in your character than your career. Now, I'm not saying that he doesn't open doors in your career for you. I'm not saying that he doesn't give you opportunities to walk through. Hear what I'm saying. I'm saying this: you cannot take your career into eternity, but you can take your character. And God wants you to be more like him. There's no problem that you can't grow from if we learn the right response. And we have a saying in our house: it's only a mistake if you don't learn from it. It's only a mistake if we don't learn from it. If we don't learn to respond better. If we don't learn to do something different in a situation. If our response is not more Christ-like. Hard, but possible. With the Holy Spirit working in us, our response can be like Jesus. And every day we can become more like him. becoming like Jesus called us to be, a disciple, a Jesus follower. Jesus called ordinary men just like you and me to follow him, to teach them and to release them to spread the good news of Jesus. That's you. You're called and created. Your purpose is to be more like Jesus. Are you ready for number four? Are you still awake? Good, good, good. Number four, we're shaped for service. Okay, the fourth purpose God created you for is this. You are shaped for service. God made you to serve him. You're not just planned for God's pleasure. You're not just formed in his family. You're not just a disciple. You're shaped for service, and that's ministry. Okay, guys, ministry is not this airy-fairy thing in the sky. Oh, what's my ministry? Lord, I've not got a ministry. I'm here to tell you today you have a ministry, and that's to serve Jesus. I'm not saying some of us aren't called to be pastors or teachers, but we're all called to serve. Every Christian is created to serve. They're called to ministry, created for ministry, saved for ministry, gifted for ministry. The Bible makes it very, very clear. Every Christian is a minister. Not every Christian is a pastor. Not every Christian is a teacher, but everyone is a minister of God. Because to be Christ-like is to be a minister. But get this, you cannot be like Jesus Christ without serving others. That's what we're here for, to lay down our lives for other people, to lay down our lives to serve Jesus. What is ministry? Ministry is any time you use the abilities that God has given you to help somebody else in the name of Jesus. The Bible teaches that God uniquely wired you a certain way for a certain purpose. God gave you certain abilities that nobody else can do for you to serve certain people that nobody else can serve, so that a seed of faith can be sown in their life and they can see Jesus through you. Not for your benefit, guys, but to bless other people. Jesus came to serve, not to be served. And there's no greater example of this than in John 13. And we're not going to go through and read that, but it's the passage where Jesus washes the disciples' feet. It's that word again. Feet. I hate feet. I take my hat off to Jesus because I don't know if I could wash. Please don't ask me to wash your feet. I was joking with somebody earlier about the fact that I don't do feet. I don't like feet. Jesus was amazing. But the reason that Jesus washed the disciples' feet was to show an example that he lowered himself to serve them. And they'd walked a long way. Their feet would have been pretty minging. Pretty dusty, fairly dirty, and probably smelt a little bit. And we won't even go into toe hair. Hate toe. Anyway, I'm getting distracted by horrible feet again. I don't like them. But can you imagine how dusty and dirty in those days? They didn't have like a nice pair of Nike trainers to wear. It was dusty. It was hot. There were sandals. Those feet would have been grim. But it wasn't beyond Jesus. He took the water, he took the cloth, and he cleaned their feet. As his followers, we're to be just like him, serving one another in lowliness of heart and mind, seeking to build one another up in humility and love, preferring somebody else above yourself, serving them. You can't love Jesus if you don't serve others. Lastly, point five. Ultimately, you are created. Your purpose is for mission. That doesn't mean you have to go to Africa. Okay. Matthew 28, you can go to Africa if you want. It's a very nice place. I love it. You love it or you hate it, I'm afraid. It's a bit like Marmite. So Matthew 28:16 to the end says this. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey my commands that I have given you. And be sure of this. Be sure of this. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You're not doing it by yourself. Just as Jesus sent the disciples out, that is what we're called for right now. We are fruit bearers, created to tell others about the amazing, saving, wonderful grace of Jesus, the fierce love of a Father that sent his Son, his only Son, to be crucified on a cross so that that cross could build a bridge from Jesus and the people of God's creation back to the Father. That is our message. That is what we were created for. Faith comes by hearing, but hearing means we have to speak. And Paul was extremely passionate about this particular purpose. And in Acts 20:24, it says this. But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. But my life is worth nothing unless I use it for finishing the work assigned to me. Paul understood there was a work assigned to him when he came into a relationship with Jesus, just like there is a work assigned to you that nobody else can complete because it's your mission and your assignment from heaven. What is it? To tell people the good news. That's the purpose that God has for you. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, do it as service unto God. People will see a difference in you. Whatever you're talking about, make sure it glorifies God. When you don't get involved in the office gossip, people notice. Whatever you're doing, make sure you're bearing witness to him because that's what you're created for. Every day there's opportunities. Wherever you go, to bear witness to him, ask him for more opportunities. Take the opportunity. There is no greater time right now in this nation for you to take an opportunity to talk to people about the hope and the love of Jesus. We're in a very desperate time where people are very afraid and very hopeless. Yet we are in a strong position knowing the hope and the love of a Savior, the one that's got great things planned for us. We know we've got an assignment. We know that we've got a purpose. We know that Jesus is still on the throne. We know that there's great things going to happen. We're not in despair. We're rejoicing because God knew that it was going to happen. Right now, guys, is a time to be seed sowing. Because we're fruit bearers. Right now is the time to take every opportunity to speak peace, to speak hope, to speak love, to speak truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Right now, that is your purpose. You were created to go. Let's follow the example of the early church. They did life together. They shared the gospel together. They helped one another. They did the will of God. And people were added to their number daily. Newsflash, it wasn't just the Acts church that we talk about in the New Testament. No. Newsflash, we are the Acts church still today being built. Just as they were added to numbers daily then, they can be added to numbers daily now. But we have to rise to the challenge of being the mission people. We need to be the Tom Cruises, Mission Impossible. We need to be out there, Mission Possible, because God makes it possible. It's not an impossible mission with God. It's a possible mission with God. So, I hope you know what you're here for now, but just in case you can't remember, Firstly, we're not going to go through it all again, don't worry. But firstly, you're created for relationship with him. He loves you. Secondly, you're formed to be part of this family, this huge family. I always wanted a big family. I only got one brother. But it's great because I've got a massive family now. It's awesome. And, it's great. But I've got to learn to encourage them more, and I've got to learn to love them more. Don't think I've got it all right, because I haven't. Number three, you were created to be like Jesus. We're on a journey every day. He is creating us. He is helping us. By his Holy Spirit, he's transforming us to be more like Christ. Number four, you are shaped for service. You can't love Jesus if you don't serve others. Number five, you are made for mission. Go into all the world. Doesn't just say go into the continent that you'd like to visit. Guys, Boston is our mission field. Leicester is our mission field. Our workplace is our mission field. Go into all the world. You were made for mission. What are we going to do about it? Well, I would like to think that we're going to do what David did. And David served God's purpose in his own generation. And I can't think of anything better. That's what I want for my life. And that's what I want for your life. That when we go to eternity, that people are going to say, Faye served God's purpose in her generation. And she served him well. Look at the fruit that she bore. And I want people to say that about you guys too. I want people to say about you that you served God and you served his purpose for your generation and the generations. And the generations. His family is cross-generational. I hope you're encouraged today. I hope that you go from this place feeling a little bit more renewed and enlightened about what you're here for. When God saved you, he saved you for a purpose. He created you for a purpose. It's uniquely yours, just as it was uniquely Paul's. We've just got to go and do it. Amen.